The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Now, on with the show. Are you ready for some sloppy seconds, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks? I'm Meatball, and that's Big Dipper. Welcome back to Sloppy Seconds with Bigger Dipper and Meatball. I have heard that people don't like hearing me sing Wicked anymore. That's a note that I'm not taking too well.
You feel like it's a personal attack when really it's out of love, and what people want is to continue to listen to the show, and they'll only continue to listen to the show because they love us if you stop singing, because they're not interested in that.
Turns out I guess I'll stop and I'll see how many people are upset about it.
Now you're just gonna like pull, you're just gonna every time go, let's go tonight.
I was literally trying to think of another Idina Menzel song, but all I could think of was Frozen and Frozen 2, and those aren't riffs. She doesn't give you the good old ooh ah.
Okay,
that's the last one.
Okay, this is my big question, and maybe we can ask our guest about this.
I have a lot of questions.
I'm like
for our guest.
So open. Now you just have a hammer in your hand. Who are you trying to beat?
Sorry.
I'm just so over people talking about like, oh yeah, quarantine. You're not quarantine. You're leaving the house.
Everyone's
out quarantine.
Living their lives now.
The term is like adjustment. The term is like social distance. Like literally everyone's like, oh, you know, since quarantine, what? You went to that lake cabin with your friends. You had a barbecue. You kept going out into the world. That's not quarantine.
Drag her, ma.
Well, I just think we are dumb people in this country. And that is a proven fact.
Absolutely.
It's very annoying to me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we spent the Tuesday episode just talking about quarantine because we haven't talked about it in a long time. And there I go calling it quarantine. I don't know what to call it. All I know is I wish people would put on a goddamn mask so I could go out and party again.
Well, speaking of, you have made some really flagrant accusations about our guest.
Yes, I was flagrant and wordy.
On multiple episodes of our show.
I don't think our guest has heard what I said about them on the show, so I'm going to have to tell them today.
Okay, so today we're about to get into some confessions with our special guest. So listen, hold on to your panties. Everyone, take a bathroom break. We will be right back with an amazing guest.
I'm so excited.
We'll go for it. Take a break.
Well, what were you going to say? Yeah, let's just go to the break. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back.
Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including headliners like Bombas, Elf Cosmetics, and Hotels.com.
Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals.
During Big Give Week, May 6th through May 13th, the cashback rates are even bigger with Rakuten. But only for a limited time.
You can save on everything you need for summer-like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel.
And Rakuten deposits your cash back directly into your PayPal account, or they can send you a check.
Rakuten really is the best way to shop.
Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost.
That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these.
Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app.
Rakuten.
Shoppers get it.
Rakuten. And we're back from the break. And we're back with our wonderful, incredible, iconic guest. You know her from her live singing vocals. You know her from a video recently on Twitter of her eating an ass. You know her from stealing chicken tenders from someone's plate. It's Candy Mew.
Hi. Yay. I'm so excited to be here.
Hey, everyone listening. We know Candy's audio sounds a little garbled. It's just a bad internet connection, but stick with us because we love talking to her. Enjoy. Hi, Candy.
Hi.
How are you doing, Candace?
So let me ask you a question. I have... What is your full name?
Candy Mew.
Candy is not short for Candace?
Well, no. Okay, here's the thing. Candy Muse, I've recently decided that it's Candy Muse is a short term for Candace Musical or Candace Museum.
Wait. Candy, we are not friends. We don't text like that. We don't talk. This is literally our first, like, real conversation. I have been calling you Candace Musical on this podcast for, like, 4 weeks.
I love that because that is my full name.
I love that! That's incredible. Okay, amazing.
All right, Candy. I said, I don't know if it ever got back to you, but I mentioned a bunch about this video of you eating chicken tenders off of a plate. Where was that? $3 bill? $2? What was that place?
It was at a venue that I cannot disclose. You know, because the rules in New York City are very strict right now.
Oh,
so you were doing underground gigs.
Baby, we're back in the 50s.
That was prohibition, honey.
She's in the speakeasy.
She was down
super
there.
Spreader event.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, how has New York been?
You know, I will say New York City is very. How do I put this? The girls are adjusting. Like, you know, we went through quarantine. We had six months of it, and. You know, at some point you have to go back into the world and you know, readjust to what's, you know, unfortunately, the reality that, you know, with COVID and it's the new normal. And we, you know, as far as like myself and the Queens here, you know, we've gone back to work with keeping things very safe, of course, and making sure everyone at the venues are wearing their masks and it's like no mask, no entry, you know, mask. And everyone's just been really, everyone, you know, New York City is a very tough city. And people here, all we do is grind and work. So, you know, COVID's not going to stop us now.
Yeah, I was wondering, because the Queens in New York, I don't know if everyone knows this, but they are used to, like, leaving the house and doing 3 or 4 shows in a night. Like, jumping all over town and doing that. And now you guys don't get to do any of that. How many of the drag queens that you know, not, like, Rue Girls or anything, but, like, girls in New York, how many of them have moved away?
Oh my God, you know what? It's weird because every queen in New York City, at least 95% of the queens in New York do not work right now or are not working because of the bars being shut down. And a lot of people, a lot of drag queens have moved back home, you know, which I wish I had the privilege of going back home to my mother's house, but I don't got that. So I'm still in New York. Pretty weird going from 6 gigs a week to, I mean, almost nothing in reality. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I wanna talk a little bit more about the birth of Candy Muse, the beginning, going back to the beginning. You are one of those queens that sort of like everyone I feel like people don't really know how to, like, people have a hard time being like, I remember the first time I saw Candy Muse, or it's just everyone sort of like knows about you.
Yeah.
You've just sort of like been on the tip of everyone's tongue for a long time. So I'm curious, like, when you first got up in drags and like what navigating that was like.
Well, okay.
And were you a bearded queen to begin with?
I originally started drag, I think like 7 years ago, when I first had the idea of doing drag, and I remember when I was thinking of a drag name, a very good old friend of mine by the name of Lana Del Rey gave me the drag name Trey. Well, excuse me, let me just name drop. She gave me the drag name Trey Blossom. And I remember my friend was having a birthday party, and he was just like, hey, like, do you want to come to my birthday party in drag? And we had been talking about the idea of drag. And I was like, you know, whatever, like, why not? And I went out and got like this red wig and this like maxi dress, and I went out and lived my fantasy. And then I kind of stopped there, and then picked it back up a few years later as a bearded queen in Brooklyn that went by the name of Candy Muse at this point. And it's weird because, so the reason why people don't really can't pinpoint where I started was because when I started, I was kind of just doing it at home. And on Instagram, because I hadn't been to the gay bars yet, and I didn't really know anyone until one night I walked into this bar that closed down and called TNT. And if you're from Brooklyn, you know TNT, and if you've been to New York, you at least, you know,
TNT. Yes, yes, it's
TNT. Again, remember, Candy Muse has bad internet. She might be poor. We don't know, but we'll find out.
It's like that little, it looks like a bomb shelter.
And it's like, that's like, you know, Georgie Thor, all the girls work there, Dolly Sims,
yes.
Everyone works there. And I walked in one Friday night and saw these two drag queens by the name of Aja and Momo Shade on the stage. And I had approached them after the show, and I was like, hey, like, I'm starting drag, and like, I really want to like do shows. And like, of course, Aja Penny does, as one does. And that's kind of, you know, she kind of took me under her wing, and that's kind of how everything flourished. And I'm the kind of person where when I put my mind towards something, I go for it, and that's exactly what I did with drag. And I think that that's why my drag career flourished so fast, because baby, when it was go time, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You were ready. So how quickly did you shave your beard?
Well, so I think it was a bearded queen for about a year, but I only had the beard because I wanted to keep my beard as a boy, because I was very insecure. I think as gay men, you know, our beard is our safety net. It's the natural contour of the face, bitch. And I think that was really insecure how I looked as a boy. But being, you know, at that point doing drag so much, I was gaining this confidence that was really coming out of like finding myself through drag. And one day we were in Chicago, and Aja was like, listen here, bitch, you need to shave your fucking face. And I was like, oh. So I did it. And then I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, this bitch is stunning. And I haven't looked back ever since.
I think a lot of people, because I think I knew about you before Aja like was on Drag Race and stuff, but I think a lot of people would like discredit your talent by saying the only reason that you exist is because of Aja. And I know that you guys were in a house together, the house of Aja, but that has broken up. Can you tell us what happened or like if everyone's still friendly? I know Momo Shade has gone into hiding. Someone said that she maybe died in the fire. Listen, I don't know. Rumors.
I think a lot of people do try to discredit me, especially, you know, I think this year and like maybe last year, people have kind of really given me my credit where credit is due. But, you know, for the past 4 or 5 years, everyone's always like, oh, well, you're only where you're at because of Aja. And I think that they start to realize that, listen, yes, Aja's career on Drag Race gave me a huge star, and you know, it opened a million to Candy Muse. At the same time, in New York City, I'm doing drag full time, and no one can find my talent and, you know, my hardworking fucking spirit. But the House of Aja kind of got curated during season 9 because we knew that Aja was going to take off. So we were like, you know what? People in Brooklyn are already calling us the House of Aja to be shady because they want us to call us like Aja's minions or whatever. And I think that's what people get. They look like we're like Aja's minions or whatever. But to us, we're just family. We're having a good fucking time. Yeah. And, like, we're down for each other, you know? And that's the way, that's the way that people of color work. I don't know about y'all bitches, but, you know, when you're down for your girls, you're down for your girls. So people used to be like, oh, you're Aja's minions or whatever. So we kind of just took that and ran with it and curated and, the house included Aja, Momo Shade, myself, and Dahlia Finn. And then later on, a few years later, after, you know, we've gotten to travel all over the place, kind of done a lot of cool shit that a lot of girls that haven't been on Drag Race just yet,
yeah,
as a whole house, right, have done yet. We kind of added Janelle to that. But, and this is, listen, I'm going to spill all the tea right now. I'm going to keep it real 100%.
Yes.
I was getting... I was dating this guy, and this guy had a best friend who was starting drag that I met, and, you know, I thought this new queen was amazing or whatever, and I wanted to take her under my wing. Essentially, I became really good friends, and she became my daughter, Tsunami Muse.
Oh,
and the girls, listen, the tea is that the girls didn't really like that. You know, they said it was going to fuck with the brand, and it kind of, me having a daughter, kind of like, you know, I was kind of walking on eggshells, because, you know, the girls were happy with it. And I remember one day the girl called me on a phone call and pretty much had kicked me out of the house. And which I thought was interesting because I thought, you know, like, was my career, if I die tomorrow, I at least would have something like left behind. Fucking my daughter Salami is fucking stunning and sickening. But the girls weren't down for that. And, you know, they had kicked me out of the house. And I thought it was interesting because at this time, Aja was traveling. So she wasn't really in New York City partaking in the shows that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I thought it was interesting because I'm like, okay, y'all can keep me out of the house, but we're still doing our weekly shows together.
Yeah.
So this is going to be real awkward. But the way me and the girls are, we never, you know, when we feel any situation, we nip it in the butt. So after that had happened, and they kicked me out, I went to my show, Christmas Queen, at Pieces on Mondays with Janelle. And I was like, all right, girl, so what's the tea? Because y'all bitches kicked me out, and, you know, and we kind of just, you know, they kind of were just like, you know, your career is flourishing on your own, and you're kind of doing your own thing, and it doesn't really look like you need the house. I mean, the reality is...
which is nice, whoa, but still, that's like, say to someone, no, you're doing great, bye.
Yeah, don't pull the foundation out. Just because you don't, like, lean on it every moment doesn't mean it's not good to have.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, all the girls were, like, all against me. And I will say, like, at the time, I was so in my head. And I was so, like, I think everything was happening for me so fast. I was just, like, I was getting this fucking big head.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, like, being a little bit bitchy to the girls. So I think the girls were like, bitch, you being a bitch, now you gotta go. So I think it was everyone had a little part in it. But, you know, like I said, we're sisters and family fight all the time. And eventually they ended up asking me to come back to the house. But here's the thing. When you have a house of five girls,
mm-hmm,
there are different personalities, there are different attitudes. Everyone's on a different career path. And, you know, Dahlia was pretty much getting on Drag Race season 12. I was, you know, traveling all over the place, and I was kind of just focusing on my career. And also, like, while helping Janelle and being, like, almost like her drag mother, essentially. And then Aja was focusing on her music career and kind of just, like, doing her own thing and traveling. I wasn't really involved with us. You know, as far as Momo, we just weren't on good terms anymore. And, you know, once I kind of let her go for my Shrek with the Queen, that relationship kind of deteriorated. So I think at that point, we're just like, okay, this Aja Aja situation is not working. And the girls that are the closest right now are myself, Dahlia, and Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of just like, we had a conversation with Aja. We were just like, hey, like, the Aja Aja is not a thing anymore. Like, it's done, because at this point, we're not doing anything as a whole, as a collective. So
right,
we're going to be branded us three and, you know, and go about our business. And that's exactly what we did.
Well, that's like a pretty mature, you know, conversation to have, to like look at the landscape of what's going on and be like, this is the adjustment we're going to make. That's amazing.
I was hoping there was going to be more fighting, screaming, maybe a knife.
What was going on? Were you involved with the pushing down the stairs? Isn't that something that happened in Brooklyn?
No, that's Ruby Fox. That's what I mean.
That was Ruby Fox. And someone else. And then remember, because I made all those jokes about it, and then I messaged the person and I said, is this funny? And they said, no, it's not.
It's not. I thought I was hilarious. I still make fun of Ruby Fox for every time. Every time I see her, I'm like, bitch, I'm gonna put this on the flight of steps.
So let's talk about your music.
Oh yeah.
Because
recently there's been a new clip of you from what was it? It's Sasha Velour's Nightgowns, where you were singing live. Which I didn't know that you could sing.
Okay, so that video is from 2017. And I think that at that time, I wasn't screaming in microphones every single night. So I will say that since that video, my voice has been like a shot, maybe. Ain't no more singing coming from me. I'm going to let you know that right now. And so I get a vocal coach.
But there's some rapping.
There is some. I try to be a little rapper, a little rap star. I've always been like drawn to music. And I've always wanted to be like this like pop star, but like, you know, I've just been living in my own fantasy, and I'm really into ballads and shit like that. So when I did Sasha Rose Nightgown, I was like, girl, I'm gonna give it to the girls because the girls are like, this kid needs to come up here and sing a ballad. So I did that, and that was fun. But since then, I'm just kind of like feeling like my hood girl fantasy, because you know, I'm from the Bronx, so just, you know, writing raps here and there. And I'm the greatest rap star of them all, but baby girl, I could lay down a verse or two. And it's been dope because doing the song with Alaska.
Yes, we're talking about Sitting Alone in VIP.
Sitting Alone in the VIP. Doing the song with Alaska was so dope. One, because I'm a huge fan of Alaska. And I remember going to Battle of the Seasons tour back when like season 6 was on, and waiting for Alaska to come outside to take a photo with her.
Oh, wow.
So it's weird coming full circle now that like, you know, she reached out to me trying to do the Sitting Alone in the VIP song. And of course, like, I'm never going to say no. So I've been such a huge fan of Alaska for years now. And she kind of gave me free range of like what direction I want to go with the song.
Hey, just a quick reminder, Candy's internet is bad and it's totally her fault. So just blame her for this bad audio.
Wait. Oh, no.
Are you frozen?
I'm not frozen.
That was so funny. Not the, like, slow.
It went really slow.
She said, free range.
Hi.
Yes, okay, you're back. You slowed down so.
It went so slow, and I was like, wait, is she doing a bit, or is she frozen?
No, that's great. So, what I want to get to is the heart. I want to get to the heart of the lyrics of Sitting Alone in the VIP, which is based on a tweet that only got popular because of Meatball. Do you agree with that or not? Because Meatball says she is responsible for making that tweet go viral. Thoughts?
So Sitting Alone in the VIP, essentially, if you listen to the lyrics, they're just a tweet. And it's funny because, I can answer the tweet because Sitting Alone in the VIP had me going through it. I tweeted in 2017 or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, it was forever ago.
I actually was sitting alone in the VIP section by myself. And I remember I was there with the bottle and I was like, I was sad because I was like, bitch, I'm literally sitting here by myself at a gig. Like, this is so boring and so what? And then someone came up to me and asked me for a photo. And that was it. And I was like, okay, so I guess we're just sitting here. So when I tweeted that, I kind of wasn't thinking. I was like, okay, like, these are my feelings. This isn't happening. Send tweet. Done. And the shit is, when Layla McQueen and me like, were playing and like throwing all over the place, and that's kind of really how I started like, to get the ball rolling, I will never forget when Sharon Neal's boyfriend screenshotted the tweet and had tweeted how you sound like ungrateful and just like drag me. And I remember I got so dragged on Twitter for that tweet. So it's interesting that everyone now loves Sitting Alone in the VIP because I remember
actually legitimately dragged you?
Oh, people dragged me. yeah, we were like not having
we were it. Making fun of it because it was like sad, but it's such a true fact that I don't think people know is like a lot of times you get booked for gigs alone. And then you're just sitting there alone and like the club doesn't have anybody that comes and talks to you. It's just like the people. And if they don't know you that well, then you're just alone. I don't know. I kind of was like, it's funny to me. It's funny because then I just start drinking.
Yeah. No. So I got drunk a lot. I think most of it has to do with the fact that, you know, Ms. Needles, her boyfriend was like, dragging me online and like saying like all these things, which is interesting because one, I don't even never met the man in my entire life. So I was like, okay, work. but that kind of just became like this huge fucking thing. And obviously, you know, I gotta thank Meatball and Miss Layla McQueen for that because in reality, like how y'all bitches not would have been poking fun at it and, you know, having a good time with it, it really would have never taken off because I know her.
I'm just glad that you had a good sense of humor about that. Some people will get like so annoyed, and you take a lot of heat anyway, and you always just turn it into a joke.
Oh yeah, no, people always try like to like poke, and I'm the kind of person where I really don't give a fuck. And the reality is, half of the time when people are coming for me, they're the ones in the wrong. I know that I don't really do anything malice, you know, with malice intentions, and I'm always just down to have a good time and just like.
Well, we love that fantasy over here. I'll tell
you
what.
Yeah, we're obsessed with the Candy Muse fantasy, honey.
So I want to, Meepo said this in the intro, but what is that video of you eating ass on Twitter?
Yes, Candy. What is that video of you eating ass on Twitter?
You know, the thing with drag and me, as much as I love drag and stuff, I also love, there's a part of me that also loves, like, I mean, as you should, like, my boy self as Kevin. Mm-hmm. And I really, I'm a very sexual person when it comes to, like, my boy. Yes, Kevin.
Okay, a sexual Kevin.
Yeah, you know, I also love, like, my, like, not in a, like, I'm going to be a porn star kind of way, but, like, I love feeling sexy and I love like, you know, like taking care of myself. So when I recorded that video, I had no intentions of like, also there's like 40 more of that video on my phone, but I had them like posting it anywhere. And I think one night I was drunk and I tweeted it and I deleted it. And that was a month ago during the quarantine. And then a few days ago on Twitter, someone was like, don't think we forgot about that video of you eating ass. I was like, you know what? You did it. And here it is again.
Because the minute it goes on Twitter, it will forever exist.
The Brazilian teenagers will screenshot it forever.
And you know what you know what it is too? I like creating this fantasy with people where like they'll be like turned on by me, but like it's a fantasy because 95% of we're never going to hook up and like, we're never gonna do anything together. So like go on Twitter, look at a video of me eating ass, the fantasize me eating ass, but the reality is I'm never going to do that to you. So,
And on that note, I think we're going to cut to a break.
Yeah, we'll be right back after Candy doesn't eat your ass.
And we're back. See, that wasn't wicked, but it was singing. Yes. Now we'll see if people hate my singing or if it's just wicked. Candy, are you going to start an OnlyFans?
No.
Okay,
no,
this might be a controversial opinion, but I kind of feel like the OnlyFans market is getting pretty saturated. Like, everyone thinks they can start an OnlyFans now. And listen, I know a lot of performers, like, their income has changed in the gigs and whatever, so I get that, and shout out to you. But, like, you know, how sustainable is it if you only have 20 people subscribing? You know, is it really worth it to start a whole new channel to make
stuff?
What's, you know what I mean?
20 times like what, 10 minus 30% of that, that's like an easy income.
Well, that's not an income, Diva. That's like $170.
Hello, a month.
To like well, manage no, an entire new channel. Listen, so
never
that's,
mind.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you know, I charge $100.
Why? I mean, listen, if you're doing OnlyFans, live your best fantasy. However, I would not do OnlyFans because that's not the market that I'm trying to go on. And I don't, you know, what I, you know.
What is your brand?
What is the Candy Muse brand? Is it slutty?
But Candy Muse brand is, you know, is this being that motherfucking bitch. And unfortunately, me sucking dick on camera does not equate to that brand.
Chicken
fingers. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that that video... I'm not saying that that video is not on my phone, but it's just not going to be posted onto an OnlyFans.
Got it.
Not for the world to see. You know, and also, see, if I'm subscribing to your OnlyFans, there better be content of you with other people, and there better be at least 50 videos up there. I know that I cannot deliver that to the audience, so I'm not going to put the audience through that torture of having to wait for me to create content of people. I'm lazy, but I'm
wait, okay.
Oh
so,
my God.
So you said you're a very sexual person with your boy side. Do you ever like pull trade in drag or fuck in drag, or is that a really separate sort of thing? Because you are Candy is that like wet hair
sexual
sexy bitch.
Candy showers with
Candy
her wig
is
on.
A sexy bitch.
Yeah, she showers with her wig on.
that is very true. No, I just think it's so I'll pull trade in. Well, no, I'll pull trade in drag. I won't ever have sex in drag because drag for me is a job. There are times where I do feel like a woman and I do feel fishy and I feel my fancy. And I'm a guy with a guy in drag. I'm not going to say that I haven't given head to a guy in drag. But as far as like going on dates and having sex with guys in drag, no. But I like to feel the fantasy of a woman at the bar and like I'll like make out with you and like let you, you know.
And Candace, what is your type? What kind of man are you looking for?
Yeah, who are you trying to fuck?
You know, I always say that I don't have a type, but I look at all my ex-boyfriends and they all look the same. So,
and what do they look like? I think,
you know what it is? Coming from being born and raised in the Bronx, I've always been drawn to like guys that are from the, you know, it's...
Oh my God, someone just walked into the room behind her and killed Candace. I'm just kidding. It's just more bad audio. She's still alive.
And it's interesting because being thrown into the drag world, that's totally the opposite of what follows me.
Right.
So, you know, so, I mean, if it has a pulse, I'm down for the get down.
Wow!
There it is. There it is.
I think you and I are very... very similar in that regard.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, whatever. Like, if it's breathing, it's giving me attention.
Not
why
it.
Not?
It's breathing.
So you said that you're from the Bronx. So you're like New York born and raised?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in New York, yeah.
What did you do? Like, did you have a job before drag? Like, I'm just trying to imagine you, like, working customer service, and it's not working for me.
Yes.
I actually had, so I used to work at Starbucks for 2 years. And then all the gays have a job at Starbucks at some point in their life.
Yeah.
And then I became a waiter, and I was the worst waiter ever. I would like walk away and forget to like, but it was terrible. I was the worst. It was so bad. Listen, I've been there for 6 months, and it just went out.
And so wait, so you've been a full-time drag queen for like 7 years then?
I've been a full-time drag queen for 4 years. Four or 5 years.
Wow. That's really impressive, Candy.
That's very impressive.
Thank you. But you know what? It's also New York City. It's a very fast-paced place where you're able to do drag full-time. Because I have visited other states in the U.S. and a lot of girls don't do drag full-time because their city doesn't allow them to do drag full-time.
Yeah,
right. There's like a couple bars, a couple gigs. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But in New York, you're able to do that. If you're good, you're able to do drag.
If you're good. Do you think Meatball could be a full-time drag queen in New York? Probably not, right?
Oh, I guess you could be a part-time drag queen in New York City.
I'm too lazy. I'd be like, wait, I have to get on a train across town to do another set? I'm fine.
Girl, that part, literally.
Wait, okay, so I grew up in the suburbs, shocking, And I remember watching that movie Kids when I was in high school. And I always just, because I grew up outside of Chicago, and I would always think that like the kids who were in Chicago like had so much more life experience, and the kids who grew up in New York had so much more life experience. Did you have like a wild high school time? Because I also, when I was like 16, I met some kids who lived in New York who talked about at 16 or 17 going out to bars, like girls, and like getting like, you know, financial district money guys to like buy them drinks with their fake ID. I'm like, you have braces. Like, you look like a 17-year-old. How are you getting into a bar? Like, was New York like wild like that growing up?
So for me, it's a bit different than a lot of people in New York City, because my upbringing was very, I grew up on, not legit on the streets, but I'm very hood smart. And, you know, the people that I grew up around weren't necessarily the role models your mother would want you to be around.
Sure.
Growing up. So, I wasn't, you know, growing up getting sugar daddies and going to a bar at 16. I was growing up around drug dealers and people that had guns and stuff. It's made me very hood smart and street smart. And, you know, with taking that and growing up, because in New York City, you have to grow up very, very fast. Because maybe the city will fucking eat you alive. Because I didn't go to my first gay bar until I was at least like 20 years old, you know? Because I was just, you know, I was about that hood life. That's what I wanted to do. But then once I realized I can have an amazing career in drag, I think growing up in New York and growing up so fast, I think that, you know, by the age of like 16, you pretty much fucking know it all at that point, growing up in New York. By the time I got in drag, I kind of people were unable to bullshit me.
Right.
Because I can smell bullshit. Yeah. I'm like, baby, you're not going to bullshit me.
Baby, what you're not going to do is bullshit Miss Candy Muse, Miss Mama, Miss Mayo.
Baby.
Now, I do know something about you. Because someone else that I know used to live in New York and would always see you at all of the Lady Gaga shows pre the fake. Like, you were a little monster. You were that little faggot.
I am a little monster. Let me tell you, I think I've been to over like 50 Gaga concerts.
Pictures of little baby Candy Muse at all of these Gaga concerts, like right on the brink of her fame.
Listen, that is... Gaga is truly, it's weird because like, I think she's so accessible now for the gays, but Gaga truly is, and it's weird to say that because to say that celebrity has molded you, but Gaga truly has like molded me to be the entertainer I am today. I listen to that bitch as far as like fashion and everything, which I every single little concert, you know, drunk as fuck, making out with boys and living my best life.
So Lady Gaga turned you gay.
Absolutely.
She turned everyone gay. Meatball sent me a tweet last night, a video tweet, that I'm curious about if you know what this is. Can you see who this is?
It looks like Detox.
Meatball, will you want to explain what this is?
What we're seeing is a video. I saw it and someone said the Grinch looking for Christmas. It's a male body with a huge implanted butt, or like, what are you, is that filler or implants, Candy?
Baby, that is silicone.
That's silicone, so that's the pump.
That is silicone, and those are two ham hogs stuffed in his fucking ass, bitch.
It looks like, it looks like two large potatoes on toothpicks walking around.
So this person is an adult film performer who goes by the name Fat Booty Bottom, fat spelled with a PH, on Twitter. And it is such a wild, like, his videos are so wild. Look at that.
Baby, oh my God. It's like he has like Kim Kardashian ass, but not the thighs.
And then, like, full beard, and he presents very, like, he's like, hey, what's up, Baltimore? Who wants to get this ass tonight? Like, that is, like, what that tweet
you
is
went
about.
On a real deep dive.
I was fascinated because it's, like, it's one of those things we talk about, you know, like, gender expression and, like, being gender fluid. Ooh. Like, to me, what's crazy, or not crazy, what's interesting about that is that feels like a very gender fluid identity where he's, like, like, I want to, like, I'm a dude. I want to fuck dudes. We're having gay sex. It's anal. But, like, I'm really into this very overly feminized ass shape.
And he's got acrylics.
I didn't see. You saw acrylics?
I saw the
cheek implants. Because she's listen, like,
we're
she's
not dragging this person. We're,
no,
I'm
she's
happy
building
for them.
A fantasy, but it is a good dive to go deep.
They're
into.
In the 3.6 percentile on OnlyFans.
Oh yeah, that's their username on Twitter. Top 3.6 percentile on OnlyFans. That could be you, Candace.
No, everyone. No, hold
everyone's
on.
In the top.
Everyone wants to see that beer
hold
can
on.
Dick,
hold on.
Candy.
Someone's fucking lying here because every fucking person on Twitter is a top percent on OnlyFans. Y'all all can't be the 1%. So who lying? Who lying?
Yes, everyone brags. They're like top 5% earner on OnlyFans. Girl, well, where are the other people?
Candy, do you know that when you're doing stuff that it's absolutely hysterical, or are you just like living and then people catch you on camera?
Here's the thing. Someone told me something this past summer. Someone that I really look up to, that I'm a very funny person and that I do things without realizing I'm doing them. And to me, I'm just being normal. To me,
right.
Like, I'm just doing me. And you know? I've always been like silly and just like wanting to have a good time. When people capture on camera, it's when I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I really that fucking ridiculous. But, you know, in the moment, I'm just like living my best life. However, I'm not going to lie and say that I don't know when the cameras are on because yeah. Maybe, well, you have to put it on for the camera, you put it on. But I'm just being me, you know?
Okay, here, I'm going to give a list of my favorite Candy Muse videos so that people can watch them on our
yes,
Instagram.
Yes.
When you and Janelle number 5 do a wig reveal and it's like a tiny little red wig and it like, you pop it out. I love the, what the hell going on? When you turn around and yelled at people in front of, while Aja's performing.
Uh-huh.
What's another good one?
Falling.
Falling on the roof. That was probably a recent one. Also, that night that we were in New York for New York Drag Con and you were performing and that guy was talking and you like did a forward roll to him and grabbed his head and said, shut the fuck up. And you can see your mouth say it to him. That was a good one.
Do you think you learned some like performance technique from Gaga, from going to all these Gaga concerts that you applied to your club shows?
I think at first I started to apply to my club shows. I think now I just go on stage and I'm like, I know what I gotta do. You know, I think the more you get into drag, the more years you're like, girl, let's go on this fucking stage and do what we gotta do. And,
what's the song like, you really like to perform to, Candy?
What do you mean? Icy. Everyone fucking knows what song Candy likes to perform
Icy
to.
Yeah, Icy by Kim Petras, hands down. I think that song is like, it's so fucking good. It's like the song of our fucking generation. It's such a good song, and I don't know. The thing about me, I have a really hard time, and this is, I don't think people know this. I have a really hard time learning lyrics. My memory isn't that good, so when I learn a song, and you see me doing it a lot, it's not because I like the song; it's because it's the only song I fucking know right now. So, there's that.
Wait, have you been doing any? Did you do any digital drag?
Yeah.
I did some digital drag at the beginning of quarantine. What was that, like March? And
yeah.
It was cute, it was fun. You know, the thing is, digital drag is so much work. And I'm a believer in you should be a kind of, you know, you should be given what you're worth. And,
right.
And, you know, digital drag, as much as, you know, the world needed it at that very moment, because they were, you know, something that happened. Actually, you bitch. I think a few months into it, the girls, you know, the audience was kind of just over, and the tips weren't there.
Candy's recording from inside someone else's ass as we speak. So that explains the audio. It's the microphone, is she's got to eat it out.
So
right, of course.
The money's not there anymore. We talk about it all the time.
There's,
you
there
can
anymore.
Just say it.
Yeah.
It's not worth the effort of recording yourself, of editing a video, of doing
it's
all that,
not,
spending 3 or 4 days on something to get $5. It ain't there, honey, ma'am.
Girl, it's not. And, you know, I more power to the girls that are doing their online shows. I live for it, work, diva, live your fantasy, mama, yes, me. But I'm not going to waste my entire life. Girl, when I used to do my videos, and it wasn't even an elaborate fucking video. It would take me hours to edit. It's just like, I'm not getting enough back for what I'm putting into. So right. I kind of just stopped doing digital drag in a hole because I can't be bothered. And that was the tea.
And that's the tea on that.
Have you ever seen Wicked?
I've never seen Wicked, but I do perform Defying Gravity on my shows.
Can you give me a ooh ah?
Oh.
Yes!
Now that sounded like spot on.
That sounded just like it. Do it again.
Oh, stop it.
Just one more time.
Just one more time. Just do it.
One more time. Oh.
She's living up to her namesake. Candace Musical.
Candace Musical, yeah.
Well, listen, Candy, we want to thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So people can stream your song that you have with Alaska, Sitting Alone in VIP,
yeah.
And follow you on Instagram and Twitter. Twitter's got the good ass videos if you want to see that eating ass content.
Yeah.
And any fun projects coming up soon for people to look forward to?
You know, there's so much coming up in the next few months. Just stay tuned. We're going to go on a wild ride together. It's going to be fun.
We love staying tuned.
I love to stay. I tune in daily to the Candy Muse
special
show.
Special projects coming soon.
Secret project.
Well, thank you love so much for coming. We're very excited for all your secret projects.
Thank you.
All right.
Well,
get out of here. Go eat a bagel or whatever you do in New York.
A bacon egg and cheese.
Is that your order? Do you get it on a roll or on a bagel?
I get it on neither because I'm on keto right now.
She said, just put it in my hand. I want the bacon, the egg, and the cheese.
How is that going? Are you going to be the thin one now?
Well, you know what? I cheated yesterday, so not good.
Wait, can you drink on keto? Are you allowed to have alcohol?
You can have vodka soda.
Vodka soda?
I like drinking Hennessy, so I don't know if those two really match up together.
So you are rich.
You've been rich.
All right. Bye, Candy. Okay.
Bye, Candy.
Did you see that meme? The I want to go to Spirit Halloween meme, and then Miss Toto did it?
I don't know what that meme is.
Here's the thing. I don't know what it is either, but I love it. I think it's just like a woman being a hot mama just saying she wants to go to Spirit Halloween, and he's like, yes, I do.
I want to go to Spirit
Halloween tonight. All right, well, we both did that great. Will's going to have a great time editing that. Now, wasn't that a great show with Candy Muse? Thanks so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds. What did I just say?
I'm Big Dipper.
You can follow us on Instagram at SloppyPod, and you can send us an email at SloppySecondsPod@gmail.com or call in with your
call
fuck
in with
talk
your fuck
story,
talk story to 213-536-9180.
No riff. You can follow Big Dipper at Big Dipper Jelly on Instagram and Twitter, and you can follow me on Instagram at Spiciest Meatball and Twitter Fat Drag Meatball. Now, goodbye from the show.
Goodbye from the
forever,
show.
Dog. It's a Friday. Tuesdays and Fridays. Subscribe.
You're breaking your brain.
Doodle-a-doo-doo. Forever Dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media.
Mom! Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Mixed and mastered by William Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork is drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.